What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are your brand new hosts. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck. We are live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. And on the Nothing But Net channel, we are live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. You make sure to follow our brother's show in Locked On Bears. If you're a big Bears fan, go follow Locked On Bears. All of their content over at LockedOnBears.com. So, yeah. Obviously, we're not Cody or Sean. My name is Jordan, and that is Matt Peck. We are here. We are your brand new hosts. And for those who don't really know us, for those who do know us, thank you for joining us again here. It's been quite the week that we have had. For those who don't know us, we are formerly the Debatables over at Almighty Baller, now moved over to Locked On Bulls, and we are so excited to be here, so excited to bring you guys brand new, fresh content every single day. But what's up and what's going on, Matt?
Jordan, I am super happy to be joining you again on the mics, but in a slightly new environment. Very happy to be joining the Locked On family when this opportunity presented itself. I think you and I collectively both just sort of looked at each other and said, duh, like that's a no-brainer. Absolutely, we want to do Locked On Bulls. just before we actually get into some Bulls talk, we are going to get to the latest in the ongoing saga of Nico Mirotić and Bobby Portis. Don't you worry, we will have plenty for you there. We at first wanted, first and foremost, just wanted to say thanks for everything to both Sean Hyken and Cody Westerlund, the former hosts of this show. I know, Jordan, you and myself were avid listeners and appreciated their work both as podcasters, as writers covering this Bulls team for all of last season and on through this offseason at the beginning of this season. Really enjoyed their stuff, and hopefully you and I can do the Locked On Bulls show justice. Those of you who were tuning in expecting to hear Cody and Sean, please have faith. We love talking about the Bulls just as much as they do. And we hope that we will be able to give you guys and gals everything you want when it comes to your daily Bulls talk.
Yeah, so a little background on us. We started the Debatables podcast roughly about a year ago, and it's the feedback that we've gotten from that show and just the content that we've been putting out there. We've gotten tremendous love from not only the Debatables fans, but from you at Locked On Bulls, the people that have been subscribing to Locked On Bulls, the people that have been following Locked On Bulls on Twitter and on Facebook. The love that we've gotten from the transition, we appreciate that, and we can't stress it enough that without you guys, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing this every single day, and we wouldn't be podcasting and talking about the Bulls as dreadful as it might be, and you'll get plenty of that from us. But I want you guys to know that first and foremost, me and Matt, both longtime Bulls fans, born and raised in this area, you're getting Chicago guys, and that's the first and most important thing here is you're getting Chicago guys, people that understand the city, people that understand the people around here. So we hope that is part of the draw, that you'll like us here. And some of the funny things and the things that we get into, I think we can connect with Bulls fans here a lot. But we're so excited to be here, and like Matt said, thank you to Sean and thank you to Cody for what they did for Locked On Bulls and where it was, and hopefully where we can take it now going into the future.
Yeah, and fair warning to all of you in FireGuard Packs Nation. Look, I get you. I hear you. For the most part, I'm with you. As a guy who's been covering and writing about this Bulls team for the last, you know, nearly 2 years, I've written a lot of trash about that front office, and I'm not afraid to call them out when they make mistakes. But as far as creating an entertaining product when it comes to talking about this Bulls team that we love and currently love to hate, you can only do that so much. And so I think you'll find that while Jordan and I certainly have skepticism about this rebuild and where this Bulls team is right now, we're going to look for the positives too. Because at some point, it becomes not fun to just yell like mindless drones, FireGuard Packs, into the microphone over and over. And I hope, over time, listening to some of our first handful of episodes, you'll agree that it's actually a lot more fun to look at some of the positives and not just the negatives when you're in a situation that the Bulls fans find themselves in right
now. Let's also make a note right here for the Locked On The Locked On Podcast subscribers hear that Matt is the biggest fan of the Garpax billboard and...
False.
And that he...
Erroneous on
he
all
He also
counts.
Donated to the... He was one of the biggest donors to the Garpax billboard.
I gave them $0. All you chumps who wasted your money on that ridiculous billboard, I have no sympathy for the fact that those guys are still holding their current positions. Did you think it was going to do anything, honestly?
Well... It didn't do anything because guess what? The Bulls hired Doug Collins and yeah, so they continued.
Hey, Locked On Bulls Nation, here's a secret. You know who did actually give some of his hard-earned dollars to that billboard? My co-host.
Absolutely,
Jordan.
And I'm not afraid to say it either. I'm Garpax strong. You know, we're no longer seeing red, so, and I agree with you. But to back to your serious point, though, here is as much as I dislike the front office, as much as I don't want them to be a part of this rebuild that we are doing, I can't sit here and drag them every single day because not only is it not fun for you to listen to it, it's not fun for me to talk about it. And then I just come off as some guy that is, you know, always pessimistic about this team. And you might hear a lot of that tone this year and maybe throughout this rebuild. But we're here to give you guys the brightest side of Bulls content because, let's be honest, the other stations around this city and nationally are pretty much laughing at the Bulls and don't really give you the content that you want because you're sitting there thinking, okay, yeah, I know that the Bulls are a joke, but at least tell me what if there are any positives going on with this team and going forward. And you're not going to get that anywhere else. You're going to get it right here. So we're going to try and do that for you and break that down for you. But Garpax, they are always on our radar. There's always a target on their back, so don't worry if you are afraid that we're not going to do anything at all. Just you sit back and relax and strap it down here for some Garpax trash if they do decide to do anything stupid moving forward.
But we're also going to talk about how stoked we are for young pieces like Lauri Markkanen and the impending return of Zach LaVine, because why the hell not? Gotta have some optimism.
True, and speaking of Lauri Markkanen, we have decided since the Debatables listeners and the Locked On listeners have been so awesome to us and we've gotten a ton of love over the past 48 hours since we announced that we are going to start doing giveaways, and this is the month to do the giveaways. So since the Bulls are on their road trip, we figured this would be a fun time to do some giveaways. So what you need to do in order to qualify, we are giving away a Lauri Markkanen jersey to one of our listeners, one of our followers on Twitter or Facebook. So what you need to do is after you listen to this episode or even while you're listening to this episode, go to @LockedOnBulls on Twitter or LockedOnBulls Facebook and go like, retweet, favorite, and you'll enter yourself into a chance to win a Lauri Markkanen jersey. We're going to make a drawing out of those after a week, so make sure you've got a week to retweet all of that, and then we'll draw one random winner, and hopefully you'll enjoy your brand new Lauri Markkanen jersey. But this is kind of our thanks and our way of saying thanks for supporting us through everything we've done through a year so far.
The finisher, baby. Wait, Jordan, can I get in on that? Like, if I go for my personal Twitter account, like and retweet and follow and do all that stuff for Locked On Bulls, can I enter to win? Because I really want a Lauri Markkanen jersey and I haven't bought one yet.
You know how mad people would be if we were just like, oh yeah, and so the winner after retweeting and liking for a week is our very own host, Matt Pat.
Yeah, well, they can deal with it. I want that jersey. It's mine.
All right, a few other housekeeping notes here as we talk through, and before we get to the Bobby Nico situation and kind of break that down a little bit for you, is we want to talk to you guys about where you can find us, especially on Twitter and Facebook, and with all these feeds going on and just kind of a mess going on here. So make sure that if you were to subscribe to the Debatables that you unsubscribe, that you come over and subscribe to Locked On Bulls, either on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you find podcasts, go and follow Locked On Bulls, because this is where you're going to find us 5 days a week. Every single day, you're going to get fresh Bulls content. And that's something that we also need to talk about, is instead of doing 3 episodes a week, we are now going to be doing 5 episodes. So you get more of us, for most of you, you probably like, these guys, are you kidding me? Again, 5 days a week. Okay. And then so for other you guys are ecstatic. So we're hoping that you're on the latter side of that instead of the former. But make sure you do that. Go subscribe. Go like us on Facebook. Go find us on Twitter. We did change the Twitter handle. So we went from @Debatables to @LockedOnBulls. The old feed that you were subscribed to on Twitter is now not going to be there anymore soon. We're going to leave it up for a few weeks so people can make their kind of transition, but go follow the new Locked On Bulls. It's the same handle, just our Debatables feed instead of the other Locked On Bulls. We're very active on Twitter too, so we're a great follow. I think you're going to enjoy a lot of the content there, and you'll get to find out exactly when we drop episodes every day. So Matt, let's take it away with this first segment with Bobby and Nico.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Ooh, goody. Let's. Yes, let's. Okay, so Nico's back at practice, everybody. Although, technically, can you really say he's back at practice? Because he has upped his activity from doing just light pool in the pool activities and stationary bike riding to now he's doing some light shooting. He's also doing a little bit of weightlifting. But all of these said activities, while he is at the Advocate Center and now is not doing these in, quote, after hours, as said by Fred Hoiberg, but at the same time when the rest of his teammates are present practicing on that Advocate Center court, he's just off in the distance doing his own thing. Incredibly awkward. There have been some pictures and some videos that have come across Twitter over the last 48 hours or so from guys that are at that those Bulls practices, and it's a bunch of Bulls on the court practicing scrimmaging shooting, and it's just like Nico up in the corner on the second floor riding a stationary bike. It is so painfully awkward. I love it so much.
It's like we're back in high school again, and for those who are in high school that are listening to this, you kind of understand, like, to the degree of what they're dealing with. Like, these guys are professional athletes. They're professional athletes. You have a career. This is a professional job, and this is the way these two are acting. I'm not saying Nico shouldn't be mad at Bobby for punching him in the face. Sure, he should be mad at him for that and for costing him in, you know, the first 4 or 6 weeks of his season. At the same time, you know, Bobby's not all to blame here, and this is, I think, a consensus across all Bulls fans, is that Bobby's not completely to blame here. And if you think that this is all Bobby Portis's fault, you're wrong. You're flat out wrong. I'm sorry. With Nico too, it's like Bobby has come out and said to the media multiple times now in the past days, the past couple weeks, that he's ready to move on from this situation. He's ready to get over it. And whatever they need to hash out, whatever they need to get over, they'll do it. But he said, I'm not going to go up and approach him again. I've already done it a couple times. I've already tried to reach out to him, and he wants none of it. So if he wants to come up and talk to me, if he wants to try and resolve this, I'm gonna carry it with open arms. But until then, I'm just going to focus on basketball. And you know what? Good for Bobby Portis.
Yeah, and really averaging about a double-double with, what, 19 and 10 in his three games back from his suspension. It's kind of hard to be mad at Bobby when even his coach, Fred Hoiberg, has showered him with praise for the way he's put forth that, you know, that Bobby Portis, you know, big engine effort in his games since coming back from that 8-game suspension. It's hard to disagree with that, and it's really unfortunate for Nico that I know a lot of Bulls fans out there think it's unfair that Bobby is back and playing while Nico is still rehabbing. We just passed the 4-week mark from when this incident happened, and Nico's timeline of recovery was initially listed as 4 to 6 weeks. We still think we're somewhere along there, but he still really hasn't done much of any contact basketball activity. Look, I don't necessarily think it's unfair. I know a lot of Bulls fans do, but we heard from Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, when he was in Chicago announcing that 2020 All-Star news, that, yeah, he was consulted. He consulted with the Bulls about the best course of action with the suspension, and they all collectively agreed, yeah, 8 games, okay. And essentially Silver said, I let them make that decision. They kind of told me what they were thinking, and I let them make that decision. As you said, this is not all on Bobby Portis. And I think we've heard whisper by whisper from the media, players talking, VP John Paxson himself talking about the way that this incident went down. Nico charged Bobby. Nico was the instigator. So I have a hard time feeling awful sympathy for the guy. And now even more so because he is purposefully secluding himself in that practice facility when he could come up to Bobby and say, yo, let's figure this out. Bygones be bygones, because Bobby has tried and Nico's the one resisting.
Yeah, right. I think that's, it's just only, it's got to be a matter of days before the front office and Fred Hoiberg and everybody just has to stick these two guys in a room. And as much as you want to trash Gar Pax and John Paxson or Fred Hoiberg or whoever you want to talk about in the way that this is being handled, I don't necessarily think that this is being handled in a bad way. I think John Paxson and Fred Hoiberg have approached this in the best possible way that they could. And especially with all of the parameters that go around this, like, it would be so much easier if they didn't sign Nico to $12 million, you know, for 2 years, and he had the opportunity to be traded almost immediately. If that would have been the case, you know, Nico probably wouldn't be here at the Advocate Center warming up. With that being said, since you can't trade him to the 15th of January, it kind of leaves you in a bind. And it seems like the more and more this is talked about, the more that the Bulls aren't going to give up on Bobby Portis. It seems like with Nico saying that it's either me or him, you have to choose, it looks like they've already decided that it's Bobby Portis. And what did I tell you a couple episodes that the kicker of all this is going to be? Is if one of these guys come back and play well. And look, so far, Bobby Portis has looked pretty decent. This is the best Bobby Portis has looked in a Bulls uniform. So if this had to happen in order to get the very best out of Bobby Portis or the very best out of Nico Mirotic, this situation might not turn out to be all that bad.
And you know what's just kind of hilariously ironic about this, Jordan, is that one of my favorite sound bites we've heard from Fred recently, and I think he said this following that blowout loss to San Antonio over the weekend, is that the Bulls are playing and fighting a lot harder in practice right now than they are in games after that really ugly loss to the Spurs. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, well, Bobby Portis is back in action, and I bet maybe he has a little bit of something to do with the fact that the Bulls are fighting and playing a whole lot harder in practice. But at least Bobby is bringing that to the games as well. Look, I'm not saying, like, oh, Bobby Portis is all of a sudden going to have this great season and he's going to turn out to be not a bust of a draft pick and XYZ. No, I'm still, you know, it's been three strong games from Bobby since he came back, but I'm still tempering my expectations there. But you can't deny, small sample size though it is, that he has come out and been fighting for his life and his livelihood and his job on this team since he came back. Nico doesn't have that same opportunity, but just as far as Fred trying to get people on that team and in that locker room past this ugly feud that's going on and focus on playing basketball, trying to teach these young kids his way of playing basketball in the year one of this rebuild, maybe Bobby's presence is going to pull some of those slugging, sagging teammates on a little bit.
Can we talk about, too, the fact that This is a good thing for the Bulls in terms of their offense, because besides what we talked about previously with Justin Holiday basically having to be their number one option, and with Lauri Markkanen coming on the scene early on in the season, it's sort of transitioned now that Lauri Markkanen's obviously your number one weapon on this team. But outside of him and Justin Holiday, with him being, you know, with Zach Lowe reporting that he's on pace to be the worst volume shooter in NBA history, I mean, you've got to look for other options to score. And what was Bobby Portis's biggest strength when he was in college, and the reason why the Bulls drafted him, is because he was an offensive player in that front court. And this is what we've been prolonging for. This is what I've been asking for the Bulls to do, is figure out what they're doing with Bobby Portis. What are you doing with him? And why aren't you playing to his strengths? And finally, it looks like, I know it's only a small sample size, it's only three games, but it looks like Bobby Portis is getting his legitimate chance. There's a fire that was lit underneath him, and I don't know. I have to be optimistic that maybe this was the turning point that they needed for Bobby Portis's career and for him to actually be a legitimate part of this team in whatever scope moving forward. I mean, look at it, 19.3 points per game. He's playing an average of 27 minutes a game. He's shooting 49% from the field, shooting 50% from three. He's averaging 10 rebounds and 2.3 assists per game. So the fact that he's on the floor and he's doing all that on the offensive end is very positive, and it's actually kind of surprising. I think this is the most surprising thing out of this entire story.
And I think, as we were talking earlier about Paxson kind of admitting that, yes, Nico's camp has said it's him or me, and that maybe right now, based on the, some might call, soft suspension of Bobby and the fact that his teammates were all very thrilled to have Bobby back, Nico's kind of the odd man out, and literally at practice for the last 2 days has been the, you know, on the outside looking in, or in the upstairs looking down onto the court, if you want to get really literal, it's got to just absolutely frost Nico's cookies that Bobby has played so well in these first three games back, right? I mean, try to put yourself in Nico's shoes. I know I'm saying I don't sympathize with him that much because I've never been a fan of Nico Mirotić. I never was a fan of the Bulls using a draft pick on him. I thought he was a bust. I still think he's a bust. And the fact that the Bulls gave him that contract instead of just saying, hey, if you want, you can play on the designated, you know, or on the qualifying offer, you can. It's a waste of money on a player that's going nowhere in this league. That being said, putting myself in Nico's shoes, boy, dude, oh, he must just be so ticked off. Which, you know, might alleviate this situation eventually when they can trade him, because we've already heard he's willing to waive that no-trade clause if it is, in fact, Bobby that the Bulls want to keep around. But, I mean, come on, Jordan. Can you just imagine how ticked off Nico is right now watching Bobby play well?
Oh, my God, and it's got to be boiling his blood so much, and just, it seems like he probably feels like, man, I'm the one who suffered the injury, and now it's like, okay, now this guy gets to go about back and play. I feel like that's, like, that whole part of this story is so weird, and like you said, there's no way to describe it, and, like, everybody that's talking about this story is just like, there's no specific word to point out this situation other than just super awkward. And the way the Bulls have to handle it, and the restraintments that they have to handle this, it makes me think, like, if they're putting these guys back in the practice facility, Nico obviously having to fulfill a contract, and that's basically the very minimum of what he's doing right now by showing up, and then having Bobby practice with the guys and look pretty good during games, I wonder if the Bulls decide to push Nico's injury off until January 15th, say, you know, for him not to come back with the team, or if they do decide to figure this out and say, all right, there's going to be an option of Nico and Bobby playing in a game before that January 15th date comes up. Which one, is there any, have you changed your mind on any factor of whether or not these guys are going to play on the court again together?
I don't see it. I really don't. Basically because we've heard from Nico's camp that he does not want to share a court with that guy. He does not want to share a locker room with Bobby Portis. He doesn't want to be in the same space as Bobby Portis. We now have photographic and video proof of exactly that. Now that Nico contractually is obligated to be at those practices, he's nowhere around Bobby. He has had some contact with other teammates, but we heard from Fred Hoiberg on Tuesday morning that he and Bobby still have not had any contact or communication. So, you look at the timeline. 2 weeks from now is the end of that 4 to 6 week initial timeline for recovery. Say that Nico in 2 weeks or even 3 weeks is cleared to play. So, you're looking at the tail end of November, early December. That's still a month and a half worth of games where he could be eligible to play and not yet eligible to be traded. So what do you do if you're Fred Hoiberg, and what do you do if you're John Paxson in that six-week window of December and the first half of January? If I'm the front office and or Fred Hoiberg, I'm shutting Nico down. I don't want whatever beef is still going on between those two affecting the focus of my basketball team. To me, that is the clear-cut, one and only possible answer. You can't play Nico.
And that's, like, so this is what I'm wondering, too, is the fact that once he gets cleared to play, does he take up a roster? Does he take a spot on that bench? And does he, if they do decide to shut him down and just not play him, I'm confused as to how the way that they're going about this is. Maybe I'm just dumb and blind to this, but Nico hasn't been showing up to games, right? He hasn't been, like, sitting on the bench or anything like that, has he?
No, he's not on the bench.
That's what I thought. So once he comes back, so like you said, once he gets cleared for these whatever it is, 2 weeks, if he does get cleared to play or at least come back to travel with the team, you think he even does that?
Honestly, I'd be surprised. I really would. And look, it's not the fact that the Bulls would be the ones that want to make that decision. I don't think, as long as Bobby's around, as long as Bobby's yucking it up with teammates, as long as Bobby is out there playing with teammates, I don't see Nico wanting to be in that atmosphere. I don't think he wants to be around if he's sitting and Bobby's playing. I think that would really tick him off, and I think he would want to have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I think you're right there, too, because, and that's the hardest situation for Paxton, not only John Paxton and Gar Forman, but also a hard situation for Fred Hoiberg, because he's just like, at a certain point, and you look at even what just happened now with like the little scare with Lauri Markkanen getting hurt, it's like it could cost one or two injuries away, and you're going to need bodies to go out there and play. And at a certain point, you're just like, all right, like, I get it, Nico, you don't want to be in the court for him, but you still have to fulfill a contract that we have, and we can't trade you till January 15th, so we need somebody to go out there so we don't look like an absolute joke. So if there are injuries that happen, he's
like, Oh, please. If Nico put on a jersey and got out there, the Bulls would look like more of a joke. The dude can't play. I mean, like, are we just going to gloss over that? The dude can't play. I'm done. I am 110% done with Nico Mirotic.
You know my angle on it. I think he's done. I've never been a Nico Mirotic fan, so.
Go back and play in Europe if you want, buddy. Go be a star in one of the Euro leagues. That's fine by me. And, you know, best of luck to you. But this Bulls team does not need him, and they don't need this headache.
So it's definitely a situation to continue to monitor, and that's what we'll do. I feel like it can only be a matter of days before John Pex and Fred Hoiberg literally just force these two to go into a room and say, you're not coming out until you figure this out. Whether or not you guys want to talk to each other after it or not, just figure it out until the point where we can trade Nico and we can get him out of here. But at least to the point where this won't be a story anymore, or that we don't have to continue to address this every single time we meet the media. That would be my approach to them, those two, and I can't see it continue. They can't let this linger until January 15th, where it's constantly like Bobby and Nico getting filmed at practice at two completely opposite ends of the gym, just completely ignoring each other. And let's be honest here for a second. The NBA is the smallest locker room out of all of them. And how are you about to have these two guys be in complete beefs and think that that's good for your culture? Think that's good for your locker room? How is that good?
It can't be. And to that end, I do want to give some credit to Robin Lopez, because the guy is just an absolute pro and such a veteran leader for this team right now, a veteran leader that they need. And he, anytime he's been asked about this situation, has been great at kind of, you know, playing both sides of the fence, so to speak, you know, showing his support for both of those teammates, because you don't want sides being taken in a situation like this, because that will tear your locker room apart. Bulls fans have seen it before, whether it was Derrick Rose versus Jimmy Butler, whether it was Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade versus Rajon Rondo and the young kids last season. We have seen it firsthand. Locker rooms can be torn apart and the team falls apart because of it when stuff like this is allowed to fester. And right now, it seems like more so guys in that Bulls locker room are Team Bobby than Team Nico, because we did hear those reports about how a lot of the young guys had rubbed them the wrong way, that Nico was basically an absentee member of the team as a restricted free agent all summer, comes in, signs his new contract to the midnight hour, and then immediately takes the starting power forward job. So we have, based on the fact that it's mostly those young guys on the Bulls roster, an idea that they're kind of all Team Bobby and not Team Nico, but you still don't want those teams forming because it's not healthy for your locker.
Remember, follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Go give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Remember, resubscribe to Locked On Bulls. Tell your friends that were Debatables fans to subscribe to Locked On Bulls. Remember the Twitter account. We can't stress this enough. You did follow Locked On Bulls before, at Locked On Bulls, but we did went ahead and switched the Twitter feeds over. So remember, just go in the search bar, search Locked On Bulls, you'll find us. Go ahead and give us that follow button if you want to keep up to date with our shows. So as we're switching those over, you'll be able to see that, because that other feed that you had up there is not going to be there for too much longer. So before
RIP Debatables, buddy.
RIP. It was good while it lasted.
The
final thing I want to talk about here, and this is not Bulls related, but the last couple minutes that we do have, I got a chance to go up to Milwaukee this weekend and not only watch the Bucks play, but also watch the Lakers and Lonzo Ball. So Lonzo Ball had his first triple-double of his career up in Milwaukee this weekend. And
big deal.
The other thing I want to touch on too with it is that his brother getting in trouble over in China. Thoughts?
So silly. Shoplifting, right? That's like why they were detained. Yep. But now we heard as of either Monday night or Tuesday morning that they did manage to be sent home. We're not deported to be then detained by U.S. Customs, but we're freed from whatever restraints they were under. It's just a ridiculous storyline, and the entire Ball family is kind of taking over basketball media in a way that I find disgusting. I don't give a damn that Lonzo Ball put up a triple double. Youngest since LeBron to put up a triple double, I think, was some stat that I saw. I don't care. The kid's shooting like 22% from the field so far this season. His shot and his form are a joke. He's way more talk than show on the court. His dad is maybe the most annoying person I have ever come across on TV or on radio stations. Enough. Enough with it. Enough. I'm done.
I'll say this real quick. Lonzo Ball, kid is a lot better player than I thought and that I gave credit for him. I know the shooting and all of that, that's the biggest concern of his entire game, but damn, can the kid pass. I mean, the way he facilitates an offense with guys on that floor, and they're just starting to kind of mesh, and this is still early with his first rookie season. I mean, he's played, what, like 12 games? Give him a full season, give him two full seasons, this kid's going to be a stud point guard. And I don't really care on that team. If you're the Lakers, I don't really care if he can shoot. Why should I care if he can shoot? If he can give me 15 assists in a game and be able to facilitate an offense around guys like they're hoping to sign, like Paul George or LeBron James that are going to come over after this summer, then I wouldn't care if he can shoot, if he's shooting 22% from the field, as long as he can facilitate that offense.
Hey, Jordan, look, I'm not disagreeing with you on any of that. I agree. He's a very gifted passer at a young age. We might have on our hands in the summer, free agency summer of 2018, a very fascinating storyline about LeBron, who is this era's Magic Johnson, going to play in LA with Lonzo, who is the next generation's potentially Magic Johnson. We keep hearing that. And of course, Magic himself is a part of that team these days. But I don't care right now. You say, oh, he's going to turn into one of the best point guards in the league in a season or two. So let's wait until then to talk about it, shall we? Because I don't need Lonzo Ball and his stupid-ass father on my sports center every night this season. I really, really don't.
I agree with you in that, too. The overpopulation of LeVar Ball, just the Ball family.
One-on-one, I'm undefeated. Never lost.
But, man, the guy is a marketing genius, and I'm not a big Baller fan at all. I'm not a Ball family fan at all. I don't watch their TV show.
Haven't bought a pair of the shoes yet?
Absolutely not. Never. I wouldn't buy them if they were $10. I wouldn't buy, those are ugly shoes.
And they are ugly as
He doesn't even wear them on the court either, but I digress. The last thing I want to say about the LiAngelo Ball thing is
stay in your lane.
Basically, kind of topping off on the whole shoe thing is like, what are you doing? You're first of all in another country stealing from a Louis Vuitton store with two of your other teammates when you're there to showcase UCLA basketball? What are you doing? And then the fact that your two brothers are selling shoes for $400+ and you have a Facebook show, your family's already loaded. Why are you stealing? Your dad can go out and buy you stuff from the Louis Vuitton store. Once you leave UCLA after a year and wherever you decide to go, whether it's like you get a chance in the NBA or you go overseas, you're going to be making money. You're already making money because your last name is Ball. So why are you stealing? I just think it's so stupid. And you know what? Like, it's a reality check because I don't care who you are. If you go to another country and do something stupid, there are repercussions. And unlike sometimes here in the United States where, you can get out of something if you have enough clout, over in the other countries, they don't care who you are. And that's I think, the reality and the wake-up call that the Ball family got this weekend or over the last 2 weeks. So that's how I feel about that. I just think it was just stupid and idiotic. It's like, come on, really?
To me, it's a sign of poor parenting. If that kid who has all of those gifts in front of him is willing to make a decision that stupid. Again, LeVar Ball. All signs point to LeVar Ball.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls, our first episode here. A couple of things. Remember to go and follow us on Twitter. Follow us on the Facebook page. If you want to enter to win a Lauri Markkanen jersey, make sure you retweet that tweet coming out later today. Send us a screenshot and email it to us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. If you send us a screenshot of you subscribing, we will enter your name three times more, so you have triple the chance to win the Lauri Markkanen jersey. Go ahead and like us on Facebook. If you like us on Facebook and like the post of the giveaway, you will be automatically entered to win. So if you don't like using Twitter, you can use Facebook, vice versa. And if you don't like using either one of those, email us a screenshot of you subscribing to the show, and we will enter you in the contest. We're going to be releasing that next week on one of our episodes, so make sure you do all of that. Remember where to follow us, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Thank you so much. If you're listening to us on Dash Radio, we thank you so much. Dash Radio at DashRadio.com and Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we are live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. But for Jordan and Matt, we will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. We'll be breaking down the X's and O's of some of the games over the past weekend, and then we'll preview that Thunder game. All that and so much more on Locked On Bulls. But for Jordan and Matt, we are out. See you tomorrow.